Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Investing can be a pretty big challenge. You can experience ups and downs, maybe some blisters and bruises along your journey. The same could be said about hiking and trekking. Salman Ahmed is Chief Investment Officer at Steady Hand Investment Funds. He's trekked all over the world, in places like Cambodia, Sri Lanka, Vietnam. And we are going to take that experience that he has in the mountains and bring it to the stock market and to investing and look at some of the lessons that carry over. Salman joins us from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce. How's it going?
Okay, so what was the very first trek you remember doing? Was it a hike around the neighborhood, or did your family like throw you in a backpack and, I don't know, dump you on a mountaintop somewhere?
You know, honestly, I was pretty late to the trekking game in my life. The first one I recall doing I grew up in the Lower Mainland here in Vancouver, so we did some, you know, multi-day hikes here. There's one that jumps out as Thetis Island, off the coast of Vancouver Island, which was, I think, a 3 or 4 day trek, which was super fun. I think it might've been 15, 16, but I didn't do a trek after that until maybe I was in my mid 20s.
Yeah. Okay. And if you had to choose one, just one, which is the one, the single best trek or hike that you have done? It could be multi-day, it could be a single day, right, anywhere in the world, with bonus points for challenge of distance. Like, it can't be the grouse grind. If you choose the grouse grind, we're going to start again.
No, this interview is over. No offense to the grouse grind.
I love
challenging in its own way. No, I've been pretty, like you said, I've been pretty lucky in the diversity of treks I've done: jungle, canyon, volcano, mountains. But for mountains specifically, nothing compares to the Himalayas. They are the Alps on steroids. And I'll put it into context. The tallest mountain in the Alps is in Mont Blanc, probably 4,800 meters, 4,900 meters, something like that. Valleys and passes in the Himalayas are that high. No one even looks up at mountains that are 6,000 meters high, because you've got 7,500, 8,000 meter peaks. So once you do the Himalayas, unfortunately, some other mountains start to look like pocket-sized versions of mountains. You can't help but compare what you're seeing to just the sheer magnitude of the Himalayas.
Well, if it wasn't abundantly clear, I'm a big trekker and hiker too. We'll be off to the Dolomites this summer.
Oh, beautiful.
We did the Tour Mont Blanc a couple of years ago. So I love all that. I have yet to go to the Himalayas because I have this monstrous child, and you have to travel to the Himalayas in, you know, times that my kid's in school. Yeah. So I'll use the Himalayas as a backdrop here, but I want to tease out what some of the similarities are between the practice or the hobby of trekking and investing. First one you would say is be realistic. So draw the link here, trekking and investing.
Yeah, you have to be realistic about a number of things when you're investing. You know, the first thing you need to be realistic about is your investment knowledge and the time you have to spend on your portfolio. And that often drives, for example, whether you're going to do it yourself or whether you need to use an advisor. And when you go trekking, it's the same. How experienced are you as a hiker, and how familiar are you with what you're embarking on? Can you go on it on your own, or is it better to hire a guide? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've probably encountered that person who's on their second day of a multi-day trip and look completely out of their depth, and you don't want to be that
person.
You're
wearing flip-flops.
Yeah.
On scree.
Exactly. And I'd say another thing with being realistic is just being realistic about your expectations, right? The markets have their ups and downs, and it's not a smooth ride. And when you go trekking, you need to manage your own expectations about the trek. Not every day is going to be fun. There's blisters, there's inclement weather, there's a whole host of issues that you're going to encounter. So just being realistic about your expectations is very important in investing and hiking and trekking.
Number two, have a plan. I can imagine from a trekking standpoint, that's, you know, more than just a route map. It's in what's in your backpack too. What does that mean when you bring that into an investing context?
Yeah, exactly. Trekking, nutrition, gear, maps. If you're going off grid, your GPS points or where you're going to camp. And in investing, you need to have a plan as well. Sure, you have an end goal. Hopefully you've examined what that end goal is going to be, but you need to do a few things to get there investing. It's not just going to happen if you sit back. It's how much you saved, how long you're going to be invested, what your mix of stocks and bonds is going to be like. These are the nutrition and gear and route map that you need to have in investing as well.
Be prepared for extremes. I am a deluded optimist pretty much in all areas of my life. And so I am the type of person who will, you know, begin the hike and it's sunny, and therefore I believe it will be sunny until the, you know, the moment I'm back in my car at the end of the day or 2 weeks later, which of course is not how it goes in the mountains. How's that fit with investing?
Well, yeah, I think a great example is right now. We're going through a period of extremes in investment right now. Markets have been falling, and there's a lot of worry out there, and understandably so. But if you've been managing your expectations and have that plan in place, then you know that this period of extremes, this period of volatility is part of the package of investing. And in trekking, like you said, if you're on a trip and you have the skills and plan to complete, then you're prepared for those extreme changes in conditions, right? And that can happen in a hurry too, especially in the mountains and even the jungle where, yeah, it's nice in the morning and then torrential rain or sudden drop in temperatures or just some wildlife that you probably don't want to see in your your area. So you got to be prepared for those extremes that can happen very quickly.
Anyone with a basic level of physical health can have a lovely time in the outdoors going for a stroll. Anyone with a very basic level of skills, could invest in a low-cost diversified fund, an equity fund or an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund. But then from there are skills that are required. How do you, and you are not objective in this answer because of what you do for a living, but what counsel would you have for people to determine what level of skills they need to have to invest in a way that is more advanced than just buying a fund? My concern, for younger folks who've not lived through a market correction is that they're overconfident in the skills that they possess and in the skills that are required to ride out volatility.
I'm a little bit more optimistic about these things because my experience is that the folks that are maybe overconfident or haven't experienced market downturns only really know what they're made of when they experience that downturn. And so we often get clients that have done it by themselves for years because it was a bull market and it seemed quote unquote easy. And then you have a period like March 2020 or the period we're going through right now where they experience these extremes and they realize, hey, maybe I need a guide. Maybe I need some help. Or perhaps they feel very comfortable with what they're doing. So a few things that we always suggest people that are testing the waters is keep track of your decisions and keep track of your performance. It's easy to only bank on or recall the winners and forget the losers and not to compare. And it's easy not to compare with what else is going on out there. And if you do those, then people get a pretty good sense of how they stack up and whether they are truly ready for that kind of adventure.
I want to wrap things up with a connection back to our metaphor here. And that is the trek that you will do that you have not done at some point in the future. For me, it will be a trek in Bhutan. I have not been there. I will go there. For you, what's the one that is keeping you in shape, that is keeping you focused, even though it could be years or decades until you do it?
Yeah, I'd love to do the Inca. I think you might have done it.
I'd love
to do the Inca Trail. It's been on my bucket list. Like you, I've got kids, so trekking these days is a little bit more planning and a little bit more difficult. But South America in general is an area I'd love to explore. So the Inca and the Amazon are two that are on my list.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Salman, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
Salman Ahmed is Chief Investment Officer at Steadyhand Investment Funds.